Hallelujah. What do we say to the choir? God bless you for that wonderful ministration. And I believe God is going to take them to higher places. And let's celebrate the gentleman who has been very dedicated to this journey, Brother Evans. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, what I want you to do after church, if you have an envelope, you give it to him. When people serve in the house of the Lord, you have to celebrate them. One of the things that will keep people working hard is when they are motivated or acknowledged for what they do. It's a business principle. And so we need to honor him and motivate him. So he's not the only one. Today I'm going to talk about some people who are serving in the church. And I'm going to talk about them, and I'm going to talk about them in such a manner that you cannot acknowledge them, go without acknowledging them. But you have to obviously acknowledge their service and to bless them for what they are doing. Hallelujah. Give God a clap offering. Give God a clap offering. And in the next 1 minute, would you close your eyes? And you want to pray for the person standing by you. So if you're a stranger, if you haven't been in our church before, this is our tradition. We want to know your name. We want to know who you are. We want to stand in prayer with you this morning. So please ask the person standing next to you. If you don't know the name, ask the name. And then you want to bow your head down and pray for that brother. Pray for that sister. You want to bring that person before the Lord and ask God to be with that brother. Ask God to be with that sister. Whatever be the burden that he has brought today, may the Lord meet him or her at the point of his need in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray for that brother. Pray for that sister. Pray for that brother. Pray that the hand of the Lord will be released this morning upon his life. Pray that the hand of the Lord will be released this morning upon her life. Just pray, lifting that brother, lifting that sister before the Lord. And you are asking that the blessings of the Lord will be upon his or her life. The Lord will be with that brother. The Lord will be with that sister. Whatever the burden is, whatever the burden is, whatever the challenge, as you have come to the house of the Lord, may the Lord answer your need. May the Lord your goodness meet you at the point of your need. May Jehovah answer your prayers this morning. We pray for the shield of the Lord around your life. We are praying that the Lord protect you, the Lord guide you, the Lord protect you, the Lord guide you, in the name of Jesus. May the Lord guide you, may the Lord guide you, may the Lord protect you. This morning we are calling down the hand of God upon our life, upon this place, that we will not leave the same. God will meet us at the point of our need. There'll be a touch of the supernatural. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you this morning. We give a praise for what you are doing in our midst. We honor you and bless you because you are Lord and you share your glory with no man. And that is why, Father, it is a great privilege to us to be before you and to be part of the work that you are doing in this age and time. And so we want to thank you this morning. And Father, as we come into your word, we pray that, Lord, you put us aside and through your Spirit speak to us. We silence every work of the evil one, the one that comes to steal your word from the hearts and the minds of your people. This morning we resist that one and pray that he or she will be far away from us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God will have its course in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together and please take your seat. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful morning to see you here. And I believe the Lord has a word for you, us all. Hallelujah. And I believe your life will not be the same. Hallelujah. God will transform your life. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor again and look deep to the eyeball to eyeball. And look deep into the eye. And give it, that person a smile. You know, the effectual smile. If the person is not smiling, please call me. You see, when people are not smiling, then it means that they have some problem. I have to diagnose the problem. Because smiling, you don't pay for it. So please smile to the next person. Smile. Oh, let there be a smile, a proper smile. That infectious one. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to talk quickly on service. That's what I want to do. I want to talk about service. I want to talk about service. Last week, we talked about connecting with one another. Hallelujah. Today, I want to talk about service. And we'll be coming to the Lord's table also. And I will encourage you to prepare your hearts, minds, and body, soul as we come to the Lord's table. So let's prepare ourselves as we come to the Lord's table today. This month, God has been good to us. We are almost closing April, and it's just by God's grace that we are still seeing what we are seeing. Hallelujah. Now, I also want to take the opportunity. You should have let us dedicate this thing before playing, but all the same, we thank God. This is your contribution. And I want to stand with the leadership of the church, and we want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you so much that when we ask you for something, you are willingly and you are ever ready to give to us. And we want to thank you for your willingness to give to us to purchase this keyboard. It's a good keyboard. I'm in love with it already. And so we thank God for what you've done. So clap for yourself. Bad Oliver Twist, he always asks for more. There are more things to be done. The next thing we are to move to is our drums. There are kumininis that are added to the drums to make it look sound good. Those kumininis are not there. The bucklers, when they came in, took those things away. So we have to replace them. So we pray that, I think everything around the drum area is going to cost us, as I think, around 15,500 Ghana cedis. Everything around the drum, changing, buying everything there, will cost us 1,500. And so this month, if God touches your heart, if God blesses you, don't hesitate. You want to come to Pastor and say, Pastor, this is what God has done. I want to be a blessing to the work of God in this place. And you make your contribution. And we'll be very grateful. And we'll stand with you in prayer too. Hallelujah. So this week, let's do something. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to join me do that? Put your hands together for yourself. Hallelujah. God bless you. And so we dedicate this in the name of God the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that for the purpose for which this was bought, it will be used to bring the glory of God to this place. And we pray that the security of God will be upon these items. In Jesus' name, amen. But one thing I think, the administrator, Della, thank you. I think we have to ensure the things we are buying. Because these days, you know, you don't know when the man that it belongs to will come. So you have to ensure your things. I think we need to ensure every equipment here so that at least if they come and take what belongs to them. We still have the insurance to buy it for us. And I'm saying this purposefully because I'm encouraging everyone here, even in your homes, even in your homes, I encourage you. Sometimes you think it is too expensive, but nothing is expensive in this world. It is good that in your homes, your televisions, your radio, your theaters, everything that you have in the house, especially those gadgets, it's very important that you insure them. And once you insure them and they get missing, whoever takes it, the insurance company will replace for you. So please, let's do that. We don't practice this culture in our country, but I think it is wrong. It's something we need to start doing so that any time you are in trouble, somebody will be there to help. One of the things we wanted to do last year because of the COVID, was to insure all our welfare dues. How many of you have been paying the welfare? Lift up your hands, let me see you. How many of you have been paying the welfare? Let me see your hands. This one, you can't lift up your hands. Oh, so only one person has been paying welfare dues here. It can't be true. Are you sure? Where's the welfare director? Mr. Obie, please, rise on your feet. Only one person has been paying welfare dues. But give us, what is the number? How many people have been paying? Well, in fact, let me accept the blame first before you move further and mention my name. I don't pay. So continue. Who else doesn't pay like myself? Only 20 people were paying regularly. The rest, they don't pay. Hey, thank you, sir. Please, after church, if you don't have welfare card, go for it. You see, some of these things that we do, you may not understand, but it's for your own good. You understand? Some of you don't have, you are not working in a corporate society or a corporate world where they are paying your SNIT and they are paying other benefit for you. Now, let's take opportunity of the church system where the welfare money is being paid. Now, what we want to do is to outsource our welfare, and we are going to look at it carefully and design it well so that every person will pay maximum 20 Ghana and above. And it's for your good, your own good. And when we outsource it to a bank or an insurance company, whatever it is, I think Prudential Life is doing well on that side. When we outsource it, what happens is this. If you, supposing something happened, the church would support you, but the contribution you've made would that by then yield some results for you. And then the insurance company will give you money. And that will come in bulk. So when you receive it, you can use it for anything. It's your own money. So please, let's try and work on. I will discuss that with the welfare director, and we'll see how far we can help. So that every one of you have a welfare card and pay your welfare dues. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, so turn with me to your Bible to Galatians. Galatians. Today I'll be reading quite a number of scriptures. And so turn with me to Galatians for the meantime. I'm speaking on the subject this morning, momentum through service. And we've said that this month is our month of momentum. And so this month, we are gathering energy, we are gathering synergy, so that we all can come together to build the church that God has entrusted into our hands. Hallelujah. And so we want to see our church move forward. Hallelujah. And today, I'm proud and happy to see Mr. and Mrs. In church today. Let's put hands together for our guests. God bless you. Rise, let them see you very well. Anastasia and the husband, God bless you for coming. God bless you. Thank you. We have to celebrate them. So when we close, don't just walk past them. Talk to them, eh? And make friends with them. Let them feel comfortable that you, this place is home. Hallelujah. Is there somebody here that has been absent for long, have missed for long? Hey! My friend. Where has the spirit blown you from? Huh? Is it Akosia? I've forgotten the name. Oh. Kakra, Mavis, yes. How are you? Good. Rise, let's see you. It's been a long time. Let's put hands together for her. That is Mr. Richard's daughter. And you are looking good. Wow. Let's put hands together for her. So today we're going to look at service. Momentum through service. Momentum through service. But before you read Galatians for me, would you please let us all go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 to 58. And let's lay down the foundation and then we take off. So just backtrack small. If you can work on this fan, I'll be very grateful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 to 58. All right. Okay, I read from my King James, New King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 to 58. All right, I read. It reads, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Who gives you victory? Who gives you victory? God. And who does he give the victory through? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ, we have victory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Through Jesus, I have victory in the Lord. Through Jesus, you have victory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Through Jesus, you and I have victory in the Lord. What is this victory that Paul is talking about? This victory that Paul is talking about is the victory on the cross. Hallelujah. The victory that Jesus won for us on the cross. That is the victory Paul is talking about. And he's saying that through Jesus, you have victory. Through the cross of Christ, you have victory. Through Calvary, you've been set free. Through Calvary, the chains that were bound to your feet, the chains that were bound to your hands has been released. Hallelujah. Oh, I say hallelujah. Amen. Through Jesus, the chains that were bound to you has been released, have been set free. It's been loosed from you. You are no longer in chains. You are no longer bound again. Hallelujah. You have completely been set free. And if you have been set free, and you have victory through the Lord, what does he tell us? 58. Finally, and that is why he uses therefore. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Say, be steadfast. Oh, shout it loud. Say, be steadfast. Immovable. Say, immovable. Oh, louder. Immovable. Always abounding. Let's shout it. Say, always abounding. In the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Be steadfast. Be immovable. Abounding in the work of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Be steadfast. Be firm. Don't move. Stay cool where you are. Don't let anything disturb you. Because you have freedom through Christ Jesus. Because you have victory through Christ Jesus. And because of the victory you have in Jesus Christ, be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be immovable. If the victory had not been won for us, we would be afraid to be steadfast. We'll be afraid. But because the victory has been won for us, I'm not afraid any longer. And because of that victory, Christ is calling each one of us to abound in his work. Abound in his work. Abound in his work. Abound in the work of God. And when you abound in the work of God, in other words, when you are sacrificing yourself for the things of God, he said your labor will never be in vain. I came to tell somebody that your labor for the Lord will never be in vain. I said your labor will not be in vain. What is the labor we are talking of? The labor of coming to church even when it is raining. The labor of coming. You see, in every corporate or organization, the people who are the ones who are driving the company are the people who are not seen. All the people who are driving the company are behind the scene people. But they are the ones making the company thrive. The cleaners in the company. Those who go to work very early in the morning to clean the company for the bosses to come and sit down. They are the ones making the company to thrive. But they go unrecognized. We don't see them. In the church also. It is not us who come to sit down on the chairs are the one who are making things to be better. No. But the people who come early every Saturday morning. Do you know that the people who come here Saturday morning to clean this place? There are people. There are people who go to the toilet, the gents, and clean the place. There are people. There are people who are behind the scene operating things to be okay for us, to be able to have service every Sunday. These are the people who are really dedicating their life to service. And I came to tell those who have been working hard in this church that your labor will never be in vain. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I said your labor will never be in vain. The choir who comes every Monday and Saturday and Thursday to rehearse, even though they don't come early, yet they come. And when they come, they are doing everything to make sure they get us a good music to suit the occasion. These are the people whose labor will never be in vain. The members who come, wear dress, and come early morning to sit down and make sure that they will listen to the word of God. These are the people whose labor will never go in vain. God will reward your labor. You and I, God will reward our labor. And that is what he's telling them. Abounding in the work of God. Hallelujah. Abounding in the work of God. So God has called all of us. God has not called one person alone to serve in his church. God has called each one of us to come into service. So the first thing you must know that there is a call of God upon my life. Hallelujah. God has called me to come into service. Everybody has been called to serve. Every one of us. Service is not limited to some special people. Hallelujah. Service is given to all and not some few people. Every one of us has been called to serve. Hallelujah. And this morning, may you find your place in service. Oh, I say, may you find your place in service. May you find your place in service. Now, Again, what you must understand is that the call is a privilege. The call to service is a privilege. And I will define service for you. The call to serve is a privilege. It's a privilege God has given to each one of us to come and serve. Hallelujah. So the call to serve is not something that is limited to the bishops or the pastor of the church. No. The call to serve is limited. It's given to everybody. Everybody has the privilege to serve God. Every one of us. Each one of us. Everyone here. You have been called to serve. It's a privilege and you need to be delighted about it. Now, assuming when Nekufuadu was mentioning his minister's name, assuming your name was mentioned to serve as a deputy minister, how would you feel? Now, when I watch the vetting and they call the ministers, some of them, they bring their old grandfathers, the chief of the town, the queen mother, the opinion leaders in the community. They bring their everybody and they are following them to the parliament house for just vetting. Just vetting. Every member in the family goes with them to the vetting committee. I think this year they limited it because of the COVID. So the chief didn't get the opportunity to go. But that is enough. It's a privilege to serve. Because out of the 33 million Ghanaians, you are the only one that has been given the appointment to serve as a deputy minister. Is it not a privilege? Even the earthly job you are seeking, you are going with your grandmother, you are going with your auntie, you are going with your mother, you are going with your father. Even the chief in your village is coming down because of that job. How much more when the eternal God, the King of Kings, is the one giving you an appointment to serve in his kingdom? How privileged are you? We are privileged. Tell your neighbor, I am privileged. Oh, tell your neighbor, I am privileged to serve in the kingdom of God. So I am privileged that God has given me an extension to come and serve with him. It's a privilege. And that is why it doesn't matter how rank you are, how high you are, you must know that it is only a privilege. Hallelujah. Now, let's turn our Bible to Psalm 84, verse 10. Psalm 84, verse 10. Clement, be going with me faster, small. For a day in your court is better than 1,000. An employment of a day is better than 1,000 in your court. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness. Hallelujah. I would rather be a doorkeeper at where? At the house of the Lord than to be what? To dwell in the tent of wickedness. In other words, I would rather come to church and listen to the word of God than to sit home and watch cantata. That's what the scripture is saying. I would rather come to church on Friday than to stay in the home and watch La Sopadora. Have they stopped showing it? Oh, I'm not current, eh? Forgive me. I would rather come to church on Friday than to sit in the house and be romancing in sin. I would rather come to church on Tuesday than to let something take me off from the house of God and go and even sin on top of it. I will not do it. But I will always run to the house of the Lord. I'm looking for people who are ready to run to the house of the Lord every day. No matter the timing, no matter the hour, they will run to the house of the Lord. And even when they come and there is nobody here, I hear people come and say, when I came, there was nobody here. When I came, the door was locked. When the door was locked, what would you have done? You could have stand on the compound and begin to lift up your hands. Lord, you are mighty. Lord, you are mighty. And another person comes. The door is locked, but they are seeing that there is a demonstration of power on the compound. The person also will not be able to go because he sees that that power coming from the compound is great. He or she also joins you and begin to say, Lord, you are mighty. Lord, you are mighty. How many are you? Two. Then another person sees, oh Lord, the people are praying. Then he joins and then the prayers start catching up. Do we need a room to pray before the work of God should go on? No, we don't need a room. All we need is somebody to rise and take the step. And that is what we are failing to do. And that is why you are confined by your space. So when you come and there is no pastor here, you feel that the pastor is the one carrying the anointing. Anointing doesn't come from pastors. Anointing comes from the word of God. And through prayer, you also have the anointing. Anointing is you. Say to yourself, I am the anointing. Hallelujah. You are the anointing. So you can stand and pray everywhere. So don't be going to places that will take you from the house of God and cause you to sin on top of it. Hallelujah. Some of you are in the habit of not coming to church and you use your job as an excuse. It's sin. It's sin. I'm not saying when your job is a Sunday job, don't go to job. I'm not saying that. But there are some of you, even on Sunday, you yourself, in the first place, you didn't want to come to church. And then God granted you a job that Sunday to you, you can go to the job. So when even it's not Sunday, you are praying that Sunday will come so that you go to work. But there are people who may have a Sunday job, but genuinely in their heart, they know that this job is taking me away. But in their heart, they are willing, their heart is here, but their mind is there. That is the people I'm talking of. People who want to serve God regardless of the situation. So be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to sit in a place where there may be comfort, but yet at the end of the day, you may not benefit from there. And that is what we must begin to watch. So serving God is a privilege. Hallelujah. It's a privilege, and as a Christian, no matter how you go, no matter your status, no matter your rank, in fact, when you are going higher, that is the time to humble yourself. And you see it right now. The more you go high, the more you must become humble. The more you go high, the more you must become humble. But these days, what do we see? You know, some people come to church and they want to flex their muscles. You know, they come and, I'm the senior pastor. Oh, my friend, who told you that we are dealing with senior pastors in the house of God? And they come, they want everybody. You know, the senior pastors have works. I see some senior pastors, when they are walking, they have 3 armor bearers in front of them. And, and the bodyguard. And so those who are holding the Bible every day are there. And those who are guiding, when pastors, then everybody, hey, stand where. Hey, are we serving God that we are serving human beings? It's a privilege. That is why sometimes I wear jeans and come and stand here because, my friend, it is not the dressing, it's not the cassock I wear, it is not the suit I wear that makes me a pastor. It is the heart that makes me who I am. So when I preach, I don't preach from books, I preach the heart. It's my heart that I'm preaching. Serve. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. So when God gives you a privilege, you must humble yourself. Don't rise. Don't lift up yourself. Hallelujah. Now, if we begin to do this, there'll be total transformation in this place. Transformation will take place in your home. Transformation will take place in my home. Transformation will take place everywhere. Because the people are exhibiting the character of service. They are humbling themselves. That they know it's a privilege. So when they say, come and sing, that's not the time to be doing yourself as if it's a privilege for Look, my friend, here we don't do that though. Here is a privilege for all of us. Me here is a privilege. I'm here. It's not because of my education or whatever. It's a privilege God has given to me. And I recognize it as such. Because many people could have come here and passed at this church. But it was a privilege God gave me that I should be here. So I understand who I am. You can't tell me who I am. I even know it before I came. That I came as a servant. I didn't come to lord over you. I didn't come to be the boss here. I came to be the one who would come here and arrange chairs. Sometimes I also arrange the chairs too. Oh, you don't know? Sometimes I also come here and do that. Sometimes I walk around and take all the litters from the compound. When people, look, when you take the litters from the compound, does it change your status? Does it change me from being the pastor of the church? No. So what is this thing about my position? I'm this, I'm that, I'm there, I'm not. You are not anybody. Cool down. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And it will help you. Tell the person that you are sitting next to. If it's your husband, say, honey, I know this one is for us. If it's not your wife, just tell to the person that, Charlie, humble yourself. Oh, look to the eye of the person. Charlie, humble yourself. Charlie, humble yourself. It's a privilege. Hallelujah. It's a privilege. So if it is a privilege, that is why he said abounding in the work of God. Always abounding in the work of God. The word abound simply means overflow. You must overflow. It should flow out of you. It should flow out of your life. Hallelujah. Somebody is ready to let it flow out of your life. That you will serve for God to bless you. Hallelujah. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Quickly. What is Romans chapter 12, verse 11? It should flow out of your life. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in what? In spirit. Serving what? Serving who? What he has here? Don't enter to enter. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to stand and talk. It's a privilege. Because what you are not doing for man. You are doing for the Lord. Our service is not unto man. It's unto who? God. And that is the understanding some of us haven't come to. We think that when we are serving man. It's not man you are serving. You are serving God. So don't lack. Don't be slothful. Because everything you are doing is not unto pastor, it's not unto church elder, it's unto God. So when I come and I'm serving in the church, it's not because I want pastor to see that I'm serving, but because I am serving God who sees in heaven. If pastor doesn't reward me, and most of the time, I am teaching a course in a university called volunteer management, and it has to do with church congregational management. And in volunteer management, this is the situation. In most churches in Ghana, and even outside the world, this is what happens. There are only few people who are being paid by the church as salary workers in the church. Only few. The rest of the people are what we call volunteers. Almost 80 to 90% are volunteers. They are people whose service they render without taking any penny or dime for it. But they render those services. And some are here. I've seen a lot of volunteers who come here to serve, and we are not paying them, but they come, they take transport and come, we are not paying them. They are volunteer workers. They've committed. They understand what they are doing. So they are committed to the cause. And I pray for every volunteer here that may the Lord bless you. Oh, I say may the Lord bless you. Because they are serving God without you paying them. It's a service they are rendering. And that is what you must understand. It's a privilege. And that is why those of you who have the opportunity to serve and something is even coming in return, you have to thank God. That remuneration is even coming to you. Hallelujah. Because it's a privilege. And we are privileged to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm privileged to serve the Lord. Tell your friend, I'm also privileged to serve the Lord. So it is first of all a call. Second is a privilege. Third is what we call the manner of Christian service. Abounding always in the work of God. Let it overflow. Don't lack. Don't be slothful. Let the zeal of the Lord consume you and do the work for God. Hallelujah. And when your life is overflow with the work of God, everything you do prosper. Hallelujah. Now, assuming, let me cite this example to you. If you have a child, and your young child, maybe he's a boy, who comes to you and says, Daddy, can I take your car out? And you said, okay, well, you know what? Before you take my car out, would you please wash the car before you take it out? And then this boy, you know, he's dragging his feet. No, I don't want to wash the car. I want to go out with the car. But he said, look, it's one condition. You wash the car, I give it to you to go out. If you don't wash the car, so be it. You can't go out with my car. Then you are on top of your building and then you see this boy washing the car. How do you think the boy will wash the car? Tell me. Tell me, what do you think he'll be doing? And when you see from the top, what would you be thinking? What would be in your mind? Now, what would be in your mind? This boy is not serious. He's not grateful. He's a lazy boy. You'll be thinking this way, is that not so? And you say he's very ungrateful. So, this is the difference. There are people who come to serve. They serve biara biara. Pass their back. Pass their back. Because pastor must see them. Oh, pastor is coming. And I told you last week, pastor is coming. Hey, daddy, who told you I'm a daddy? I can't give birth to you. I'm not your daddy. Even if I can give birth to you, I've told you, the only person who qualifies to be called daddy are people who children have married and they have given birth. These are the people we can call them daddies. If you are here, you are not. Look, you people like titles for yourself. Oh. And then some of you too, you love it. When they call you daddy, then my friend, they are lying to you. They are robbing you anyhow. Hallelujah. So those who are robbing anyhow, they are there. And those who from a genuine heart, whilst they are washing the car, they take their time. They wash it. Now, I'm even seeing Biara Biara work here. You see, the Lord is good. He intentionally also brought me to this place that I will see the Biara Biara work. Look, all this place, the cobweb, everywhere. Look, they are all the place. Hey, my daughter, don't do biara biara work you. Yes, because you see, look, let me tell you, whatever we are doing must be exceptional. I'm telling you. Because if we say we are serving, my service, The preaching I come here, prepare and come and talk to you, is not because I want you to understand that I can preach better. I come with a word from my heart to speak to you for somebody to be transformed in their life, in their character, in their attitude. Because I believe that is what forms a person. What forms a person is not the information you receive. What forms a person is the transformation that your mind processes, the action, the manner. And that is what people must understand. Information is can come to you. You can have a bunch of information, but you can still remain ignorant even in the bunch of information. That's the truth. So sometimes when we are serving, we should serve with excellence. Serve with excellence. Be at your highest peak. So you are washing the car. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Every detail. The Lord is good. The one who doesn't want to do the job. Did you clean the table? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Then the madam come. This place is not cleaned well. You didn't clean that table. I cleaned that table. You didn't do with excellence. And that is why you will change job from job and job to job, from job to one job to the other. It's not because you are not competent. It's because you are not paying attention to details. The manner of your service. The manner. So do it well in your homes. I see women who go to kitchen and by the time they come out, they finish with the food. I say, hey. Your fan toast near the jenna one near one bibia near mixing in a precope near the broom. Then I ask myself, why now be blaming? I have an auntie way back when he was doing contemporary, my friend say, contemporary inquiry. Eburu, putosh, he, adiani mfio. Anytime I sit down, I'm eating that soup, and I'm like, oh my God. Then one day I ask her, "Now who cranks in quan? No, nim na ni muya na say ya that." He said, "Daniel, you bomi my mission." Because I didn't understand why she was doing the things she was doing, but she, that's the way her method is. And it's not too long that you walk out of the house, the home, and go on the street again. I'm not saying because of that she her marriage has not worked for her for over years. I'm not saying because she doesn't know how to cook, but it could be one of the reasons. And for some of you, it could be one of the reasons you have fights every day with your husband in the home. You are not paying attention to details. Today, internet is available. If you want to cook jollof, go to the internet. You can learn when your husband is not there. Me, sometimes when I want to impress my wife, I go to the internet. I download the jollof rice, the kumininis, I study them. And in my home, they tell me I'm the best jollof cook there. Because I want to pay attention to details. And when it comes out, they come and, where is he? He likes coming to my house. Maybe he stays at one of the jollof before. And it tastes good. It's because I've taken time to cook the jollof. But you, do you take time to cook the jollof? You are always rushing, always in a hurry to do something. And so the details of life are usually ignored. this morning, don't ignore the details of life. The manner you serve is as much important than the call that is upon your life. It's a privilege. Then he tells us there is eternal ramification for our service. When we serve, my labor will not be in vain. When I invest my time in the church, my labor will not be in vain. When you invest your time in the church, your labor will not be in vain. Let's go to the final word, and I'll be closing on this. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Quickly. Clement. And somebody open John chapter 13. So let's read Galatians. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Liberty simply means freedom. You have been called to freedom. Only do not use your liberty. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Don't use your liberty, your freedom, as an opportunity for your own flesh. You have been saved. Christ has saved you, that you must serve others. Don't let your flesh take the best part of you, but serve one another. What is service? Service simply means the willingness to humble oneself and act for the benefit of one another. The willingness to humble yourself. The willingness to humble yourself and act for the benefit of someone rather than yourself. That is all service is all about. Service is to watch for the furtherance of one person. So if this woman here, if I have every means to help her, I must not deny her without her of that help. I have to help her to see that she gets to the point that she's going, because that is my act of service, assisting people to reach their goal, regardless of your goal. Hallelujah. So even though I'm not there, but I have the means to help her. Even though I've not gotten there, but I have the means. So everything that I must do for this woman to reach the top, I have to help her to get there. At the end of the day, when she gets there, the glory is not mine. The glory is the Lord's. So your service is not for yourself, it's for the Lord. And that is what I'm ending in John chapter 13, verse 1. Quickly, let me wrap up. John 13, verse 1. John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Go on. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, go on. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside. Hey, forgive me, because the thing is not there. I'm reading from here, so please forgive me. His garment and took a towel. So this is what Jesus did. Jesus sat, took a towel, took water, and decided to call the disciples, the 12. Daniel, come. So when Daniel comes, He washed the feet. And he goes, Yaira, come. Then he washed the feet. So Jesus did wash the feet. And then one guy came, Peter. He said, I don't deserve you to wash my feet. If you want to wash my feet, then wash my whole body. Jesus said, no. The reason why I'm washing your feet is this. Go to verse 4, quickly. 5. Quickly. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he has gathered. Go on, quickly. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Listen, Jesus was just simply telling him, if you want to draw near to me, I have to wash your feet. If Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came that low to wash the feet of fishermen, to wash the feet of criminals, to wash the feet of tax collectors. Madam, who are you? Boss, who are you? Are you better than Jesus? And if the master was able to do it, he said, go on, let's read what he said. Jesus said, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet, but my whole body and hands and head. You know what Simon is saying? I want to know you more. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Go on. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Now listen to me. Not all of us are clean. I can help somebody, but I cannot help everyone here. But when we are together, we can make everybody clean. When we are together, we can wash people's feet. So Jesus said, if I have washed your feet, you to replicate it, go and begin to wash people's feet. So child of God, this morning, leave here with this understanding that your call to service is a humility to help somebody to prosper regardless of your needs. Second, you must understand that it is a privilege God has given you. And if it is a privilege God has given you, Jesus knew the privilege God gave him. He stood low and washed the feet of criminals. Are you willing to wash the person who is seated next to you? Are you willing to wash the feet? Are you willing to support that brother to grow in the Lord? Are you willing to pray with that brother? And I like what, Senor, you put on the page. Are you willing to pick a phone and call a brother or a sister and said, can I pray with you, brother? Can I pray with you, sister? And begin to pray, Lord, touch my brother, touch my sister. When our church begins to connect this way and begin to wash each one's feet, it will not take long that the glory of the Lord will come upon us. And he said, he who was, go on, let's read. Let me finish this one. Go on with me. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Go on. You call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. So he's talking to Peter. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Do we have people who are ready to wash people's feet here? Do I have testimony of people who are ready to wash people's feet? Do I have people who are ready to serve one another? This is what Jesus said we should do. Hallelujah. But not that he go on again, he said something. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Go on. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him.
Mm.
If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now listen, some of you are praying, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me. God don't give his blessing to people who are not ready to wash the feet of others. Take it from me. If you don't know how to take care of somebody's child, God will never give you a child of your own. It's a principle. If you don't know how to manage people's property, God will never hand you a property one day. Because you will do it anyhow. But God is looking for people who are ready to serve with all their life, their soul, their mind, their heart, their body. And when God in heaven sees the young girl who comes to church every morning and clean the toilet, and whilst he's cleaning, Yeshirawo, Asafu Yehovah, Uyekron, this girl is coming all the way from a very far distance, but he comes early and cleans the toilet. She's doing it every day. Pastor is not singing. The church is not singing. Nobody is recognizing him. Nobody is paying him for the work he's doing. But his heart is for the Lord. Let me clean it well. Let me clean it well. Nobody sees it, but she's doing it. She's washing the feet of people. She's serving people. She's dedicating her life to serve people. All of a sudden, the young girl who is serving in the church, unnoticed, unrecognized, God opened his blessing. In other words, the blessing of God is not in your prayer. The blessing of God, the reason why you have not been blessed is because you are not serving people. You don't have the heart to serve. But when you have the heart to serve, the heart to wash people's feet, regardless, God will bless you. What is the blessing of Jesus? Seated at the right hand of the Father in authority. What did Jesus do? He washed my feet. He died for me. This is the greatest example. The higher I go, the lower I become. It is for him and not for me. Bow down your heads. Lord, help us to understand your ways. Pray. Help me understand your ways. Help me understand that the calling that you have called me is to serve you in humility. Help me understand it's a privilege to be called a child of God. I could have been lost like anybody, but I have the privilege. I thank you. Please.
Can you give him a dance? Danny won't but say, Danny, what do I mean? What can you make me not the Axiremie? What can you ever move it for? I don't fool it. Danny won't but say, Danny, what do I mean? Mr. Don't bury my. Odenikwasiye ababetum ye onya oyenda opoye na rada na ni womo pape binu tabe mo apreni na 1 2 3 mi kwasi se ni no mai tabia mi kira musafa I'm Taking away my sorrows and I'm with you. Come on, I got met with hallelujah, guru. Everybody, come on, I got met with hallelujah. Come on, because of Jesus, every day I'm singing hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. Let's go. God in heaven is the best. It's the way to follow me.